ladies and gentlemen, and fellow golfers, for your entertainment.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa, brought to you by Hagen Oaks, America's most awarded golf facility, and Naturewood Home Furnishings, where it's all about choices and always about quality.
Well, hello, and welcome to the Golf to Go Radio Hour here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Thanks very much for joining us. I'm Frank LaRosa, along with Scott Marsh, and we're here for the next hour talking about golf. Scott, did you play this week?
I did not get a chance to, but I did hear tales of your round this past weekend and that great round you fired out at Mather.
You know, Mather has always been kind of, a home for me. Having lived there and my first round of golf being played there, it's always exciting.
Well, and also having a hole-in-one out there also.
you're letting out all the secrets today. It wasn't in this last round, however, but I did. I was fortunate enough to get one. Now, I did play a pretty good round. The course was in great shape. The greens were spectacular. Saved a lot of pars with some great putts, but it was a lot of fun. We have to get out next week and get our games back together.
Yeah, absolutely.
We're going to talk about a tournament that we're going to play in coming up in a couple of days. And we're also going, that'll be with Mike Rockenstein. We're also going to talk to Len Dumas, executive director of the Northern California PGA, about their upcoming Hall of Fame event. And then we will end up with Adam Johnson of Golf Fitness Solutions. And he's going to talk about you can't play golf if your butt don't work or something to that effect. You know, basically, the notion is that if you don't want to get hurt on the golf course and you don't, you want to continue to live a happy, healthy life, get fit before you get out and play golf or any other sport. And Adam will have some things to tell us about that.
Yeah, no, another awesome hour upcoming. I'm looking forward to it here.
You know, it's as we start at the beginning and we think we have all this time to fill, and at the end we go, where did that time go? So, let's not waste any time. Let's just go ahead and get started with today's Golf to Go Radio Hour, and we will be back to get started with Len Dumas right after these messages.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
You are listening to the Golf to Go Radio Show here on Sports 1140 KHDK. Hi, I'm Frank LaRosa, along with Scott Marsh, and our guest right now is Mr. Len Dumas. Len is the executive director of the Northern California PGA, which is the organization that represents all the golf pros in Northern California. And Len, welcome to the show. Nice to have you back. It's always fun when you're with us.
Yeah, Frank, thank you. Thanks for the invite. Good to see you, Scott. Nice to be with you both again.
You know, summertime is always a busy time. I mean, the golf courses are, they never slow down in Northern California, but summer in particular seems to have a lot of events. You've got a couple of things coming up that I want to talk about this summer. One in the end of June, which is your semi-annual business meeting, but part of that event, you're going to have the Hall of Fame induction, and also our good friend, the G-Man, Gary Gerald, is going to come and be part of the entertainment that evening. And then again in August, it's the Langley, which is named after Jim Langley, the former head professional at Cypress Point. And this year you've got another outstanding honoree, or a couple of honorees for that as well. So we want to talk about all of that. But first, let's talk about the Hall of Fame induction. The Hall of Fame, I guess, has been an idea that the NCPGA has had for a number of years. And what is it? Maybe the fourth year now that has gotten going?
Yeah, actually the fifth year, Frank. Thank you. Yeah, we started in 2018. You're absolutely right. It was on the drawing board for quite some time, and we were fortunate enough to launch in 18. And I think part of the beauty of it was we were able to still have our inductions during COVID. Now, we weren't able to get together and celebrate, but we did have the event. So it's been, this is our fifth year running, and this would be our inductees. We have four inductees this year, the class of 22, and that'll take us to 29 inductees in the Northern California PGA, spanning when the section was officially founded back in 1924. So spanning just under 100 years, pretty amazing and something to be proud of.
Exciting stuff. You've got some names in that group as well. Mr. Ken Venturi and Mr. Ken Morton from Hagen Oaks here. Steve Mencinella, who used to spend a lot of time in Northern California and then became the godfather at the Sunnyside Club down in Fresno. Who else is in there that we'd recognize?
Well, certainly Tony Lima.
Yep.
Tony Lima would be in there, Champagne Tony, and also Lyle Werman. Lyle has been around, is no longer with us, but has been a part of the fabric for the Northern California PGA. And I bring Lyle up because I knew him personally. And I remember when I was an assistant professional just getting started at Rossmoor back in the 90s, he used to come out every Friday to play with one of our members. And the first time, and I would always say, "Hi, Mr. Werman, nice to see you again." And first time he said, "Oh, hi, Len," and he used my first name, I thought, "Oh, I'm somebody. Mr. Werman knows who I am." So one of those moments, obviously, I haven't forgotten. And the Hall of Fame, Frank, it's about people who have contributed in so many ways. And Scott, you know, you'll relate to this as business people, as leaders of the section, you know, in its 98th year, as players too, certainly Ken Venturi and Tony Lima and so many of them, even Lyle, were started on the tour and just became influencers before we had the word influencers in the way we use it today for so many of us that have just been in here so long and been able to enjoy them and learn from them, which is the real key factor.
Yeah, we had the pleasure of having Ken Morton on last week, and you talk about a lasting impact that's, you know, goes well beyond just playing the game.
Right. It does, Scott. And here, you know, Mr. Morton stepped down after 61 or 62 years at Hagen Oaks, and he's still there. Yeah. You know, he's still there just paying attention, but we're all grateful.
You know, I think it's interesting when you mentioned, the tour players that we know, Tony Lima and Ken Venturi, but a number of your club professionals played on the tour at various times, you know, certainly didn't make it a career, but they played in a number of events and then went on to become very successful club professionals.
Yeah. As a matter of fact, we have one right here in our office, Sean McEntee, our tournament director. Frank, you know, Sean's been recognized as player of the year. And many have played, as you mentioned, in the PGA Championship. Certainly our most recent was Brad Marek. You know, Brad actually making the cut, one of two PGA professionals who made the cut at Kiowa last year. So, and it goes on and on about all those who have played on tour. And certainly even our match play champion this year, Tom Johnson. You know, Tom's out at the Olympic Club, but did a great job during match play. So what an exciting time. And the beauty of it is, you know, we at the PGA of America are broken into 41 sections. These people are part of us, part of what we do, and they have to reach out to them. And sometimes we ask them to educate us or run a seminar for us or just come over and run a section event. And they're just so grateful to do it.
Yeah. You know, the PGA is coming up next May. It's the 19th through the 22nd at Southern Hills in Tulsa. Can you walk us through what the qualification is for a PGA Pro and how that works and, you know, what we can expect from the Northern California PGA?
You know, there is, Scott, it's a great process. There's an event called the PGA Professional Championship. And it was actually last week at the Omni Barton Creek in Austin. And it's an annual event, 312 PGA professionals start. And it's a 72 hole event. There are two cuts. There's a cut after the second round and there's a cut after the third round. And then the low 20 PGA professionals make it to that upcoming PGA.
Wow. And it's from all sections, all 312. It's not so many per section that qualify. Is that right?
That's right. That's right. Got it. It's from all sections. And we were fortunate here in California to have 23 representatives, 14 from the Southern California section and 9 from Northern California. And we've hosted it a couple of times at Bayonet Black Horse. We hosted it in 2012, and I think it might have been 18 or 19 that we hosted it again. So it's quite an event. And the prize, you know, the prize is the big show.
No question.
Which is in about 2 weeks at Southern Hills.
Did anybody qualify this time from the NCPGA?
Not this time, Scott. Not this time. We did have three of our players make the first cut. And the conditions were crazy on that third and fourth day. You could tell the wind was up because you just look at the scores and you notice, well, it's not as the one player's having a lot of trouble. There are a number of players having some trouble. So those that hang in there just do a tremendous job, but quite an honor.
Yeah. So let's talk about, the individuals that are going into the Hall of Fame this year and talk a little bit about their qualifications. And then we'll talk a little bit about the Langley.
Yeah, Frank, thank you. So four inductees this year. And, you know, one of the things that they all have in common is that they've all been section presidents. We have John Fry, and the Fry family has been around for a long, long time. Mr. Fry was elected to PGA membership in 1962 and was a section president in 1974. And as you mentioned, Frank, he was even a Langley honoree in 2018 alongside of Hale Irwin. So that Mr. Fry is with us and grateful and hope that he can make it up to Reno for the celebration. And then Mike Rauitzer. Mike was elected to membership in 1966, just 4 years after Mr. Fry. And many who grew up in the Bay Area know about Mike Rauitzer golf shops and his relationships with San Jose Muni and Santa Teresa and Paso Robles as a businessman. And all of these inductees this year are well-known as players. And also the work that's going on, you know, the commitment to the community at Santa Teresa. They're gracious enough to host this year a PGA Hope program, which is serving our veterans, our PGA Junior League championship qualifier, and then the first tee relationships and the rebuild that Mike did down at Paso Robles to get the course back up and running again. So that's the commitment that they've had along the way. And also Shim Lagoy. Shim was a PGA member 1978 and is also a master professional, which, as we talk about golf professional of the year being the highest honor for a club professional, if you will, but the master professional is our highest status as a PGA member in total. Shim, again, section president 2002, honored in Ohio. Shim is an award winner in Ohio, where he grew up, as his father was as well. Merchandiser of the year. He's our district director, which is our liaison with the PGA of America, won the Patriot Award in 2012 and continues to still work with our veterans, and even qualified and was in the U.S. Senior Open in 2002 as well, and did run for national secretary a couple of times. Unfortunate there, but again, they illustrate how involved these people are in so many ways about the betterment of others, myself included, just making us better professionals, and the care about the game of golf and all the people who come forward. And of course, Shim was a 40-year director of golf at Arinda Country Club, recently retired. Sue Fisco. Sue is in the history books for a number of reasons. She was a PGA member 1995 and LPGA member in 1980. But one of the very exciting times was she was the first female president of a PGA of America section, and that was in 2006. So even Susie Whaley, when Susie became secretary a few years ago, recognized Sue as opening that door to the female. So Sue also served as district director in 2009, and that is a seat on the national board of directors for the PGA. So that's a pretty big deal. And Sue also ran for secretary of the PGA back in 2012 or 13, I was. And again, unfortunate, but, there's a golf professional of the year for the LPGA in 1993, a golf professional of the year in the NCPGA. So it gives you an idea that these people certainly qualify to be in the Hall of Fame.
We're talking with Len Dumas, the executive director of the Northern California PGA, about their Hall of Fame event coming up. You know, personally, Len, as I listen to you go through the resumes, you know, except for Mike Rauitzer, I've known the rest of the candidates, and it's been fun, you know, as they were kind of winding down their careers. You know, I was getting involved with the section, and it's been fun to know who they are, and certainly recognize, as you so well pointed out, all of the contributions they've made. So it's exciting to be part of this event, as I've been fortunate enough to be over the years.
Well, that's coming from an honorary member, Frank, which you are of the Northern California PGA. And to that extent, that's a Hall of Fame in itself.
I appreciate that comment. Tell us, we're kind of short on time, but tell us a little bit about the Langley event. That is your premier fundraiser for the Northern California PGA Foundation, which supports PGA Hope, which supports veterans, you know, getting them back into the mainstream, using golf as a rehab tool in so many ways. It's an incredible, incredible program. But the Langley started very humbly, what, 14 years ago, something like that?
14 years ago, right. Yeah.
Yeah. And look where you are today.
You know, I guess that's the lesson, right? You know, the dark before the dawn. But just keep going. Just keep going. It was an idea. And then Langley, of course, as you mentioned, comes from Jim Langley, who was at Cypress Point for 40 years and just a tremendous gentleman. And this is our 14th year, Frank, August 15, 16 at Pebble Beach. And what a kick we have as our tour honoree, Annika Sorenstam, just tremendous, the winner of the U.S. Women's Open last year, and Huey Lewis and, you know, the Peter Jacobson and his team with Michael O'Connell and his daughter, Amy, have taken over, you know, helping us with that. And Peter and Huey have played in the AT&T for many, many years and not able to team up this year. I think Huey Lewis's shoulder was bothering him. So what a great evening of talk about golf and just raising some money to continue to support our veterans in their rehabbing, to have Annika Sorenstam and Huey Lewis. Hard to beat that.
Yeah, and Peter Jacobson, as you
and
said,
Peter Jacobson, right.
And he's on stage as well. And you know, there's a man that certainly knows the golf world and the world of entertainment as well. So, you know, to find those talents in one person, that's pretty exciting. It makes for a great event. And people, you know, he's approachable. People love to come up and get a photo taken with Peter. And it's just been a remarkable event.
Yeah, it has, Frank. And you know, you've been part of that as well. Arnold Palmer, Jack Nicklaus, Tom Watson, Johnny Miller, right on down. Our own Tom Addis, you know, executive director for the Southern California PGA. John Fry, as we mentioned earlier, just incredible, incredible to get to know these people.
You know, it's always we always learn something when we talk to you here on Golf to Go, Len. We appreciate the time you take to be with us. Scott, I love the questions about the Northern California PGA section members and their chances to get involved in the PGA Championship. And I guess what we say now is there's always 2023. Thanks so much, Len. Len Dumas, Executive Director of Northern California PGA, for being with us here on Golf to Go. We will be back with more golf talk right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
We are back here on the Golf to Go Radio Hour on Sports 1140 KHTK. What a fun show this is. Scott Marsh, along with Frank LaRosa, we are here and welcoming Mr. Mike Rockenstein. Mike is you've heard him on the show before. He is a volunteer. Well, he's a board member, actually, but all board members volunteer in one way or another. First tee of Greater Sacramento, but... Mike was with Scott on this famed trip to the Masters, so we'll talk a little bit about that as well. But in the near future, Scott, Mike, you have a golf tournament coming up, which is a fundraiser for the First Tee. But you know, when let's talk specifically about that in a minute. But let's talk about the notion of, you know, your commitment as a board member and how it relates to the fundraising and how I know all of you don't look at that as a job.
Exactly, Frank. And thank you for having me on the show. I appreciate it, both Frank and Scott. The First Tee for me is really about giving back. It's for my philosophy is pretty simple. When I was very young and my parents wanted to instill in my brother and my two sisters the notion of giving back to the community. And through the game of golf, a youth development organization such as the First Tee, I'm able to do that. I've been on the board since August of 2014. A lot of the board members, which we have 30 right now, are completely committed to the cause of donating their time, their treasure, and their efforts to giving back through the First Tee. Being a board member is not just about raising money, even though that is our charge, but it's really also seeing our programs grow. We have approximately over 60,000 people between the ages of 4 through 19, serviced by the first tee of Greater Sacramento. From west to Woodland, east to Placerville, down south through Elk Grove and down into Galt. The first tee, when you go visit the programs, whether it's the California Eagles, Adaptive PE, Fundamentals program, which is conducted on Saturdays, through the tournaments, the Junior Tour, Youth on Course, you see just the expression of joy. You see the difference that volunteer adults and others make through helping kids learn golf, but primarily learn 9 key core values, from responsibility, respect, all the way to perseverance, sportsmanship, responsibility, to name 5 of them. And you just see the effort and see how the kids mature through the years. And it's just phenomenal.
You know, on the one hand, the first tee is creating our next group of golfers as we continue to grow the game. But more importantly, I think in the part that gets lost in this is you're creating good citizens for Sacramento and for the country. I mean, these juniors come out of this program, starting very simply with just learning how to introduce themselves to one another, to learning, as you say, the 9 core values. And it's remarkable, the growth in them.
It really is. You see a kid that starts at age 4 all the way to when they graduate high school at age 18, and just the demeanor and how they present themselves. And when you also look at, we have a scholarship program that we provide several scholarships that are presented at our Junior Senior Funvitational, which will be at the end of July this year at Hagen Oaks. We present those scholarships, but in evaluating the applications of those of the applicants, we just see just the enormous accomplishments that those individuals have made, not just through academics and golf, but you see their involvement in student government, involvement in extracurricular activities, involvement just in their writing, their essay, their thoughts that they have to put down on paper, and also how they verbally present themselves in front of the group of evaluators. It's quite striking to see it. And it's inspiring for somebody like me to continue the involvement and to give back and try to make a difference through this volunteerism.
And speaking of giving back, you've put together a little tournament coming up at William Land Park, and you've wrangled Scott into spending some money on your tournament, which is good. It'll go to
yes.
And Scott invited me along to play with him. So I don't know how well we're going to fare at your tournament, but I know.
Now that's not how we're talking, Frank, because we're the odds-on favorite to win it. It's a two-man ball format, and you and I are a pair. The Golf to Go team is going to win this event out at William Land Park.
I like the way you talk.
And the Golf to Go team is paired with me. So that may or may not make a big difference as far as your motivation for victory. But another fellow board member, also another friend of mine named Scott Clark, and I, this is our 4th or 5th annual event that we've put on for the first tee. It's a way of us having a fun time, raise some money, bring some friends along, and just have a little food and drink, have a little celebration afterwards, present the perpetual trophy, hand out other prizes, playing this 2-person best ball event at William Land Park. It is Friday, April 29th. Hopefully we may have some new names on our perpetual trophy, or we might have some old names that have been on there that will be put on the perpetual trophy. But it's a great opportunity to raise money. It's part of our For the Kids campaign, which is happening right now. This is one of our largest fundraisers of the year for the first tee of Greater Sacramento. The For the Kids campaign is looking to raise well over $100,000 to support the programs of the first tee. This campaign will go through Thursday, May 5th, which is also the Sacramento's big day of giving. And the first tee has always been a major participant and a major fundraiser on the big day of giving. We typically have ranked in the top 10 within charities in the Sacramento area, and we look forward to hopefully matching that or exceeding that this year.
We're talking with Mike Rockenstein, board member with the first tee, and Scott, I think that the gauntlet has been dropped. Did you kind of notice in there, his name was on the trophy, and there's this, you know, a very slight possibility that some other names would be on it.
I like the fact we're in the same foursome, because that means you and I are going to be able to put a lot of pressure on him throughout the round as we start birdieing some holes out there. And he's feeling the clench of the championship trophy slipping out of his claws out there at William Land Park.
You had the good fortune, Mike, of going to the Masters with Scott. You and some friends all had a great time. You know, as a sort of an unofficial golf historian, tell me what it was like, kind of walking around on the grounds there, and you know, did it spur any thoughts of previous heroes that played there?
Absolutely, Frank. Just walking the grounds, you can really feel the presence of Alistair McKenzie, for example. Bob Jones, all the way to Arnold Palmer, who was one of my heroes growing up. And then another hero, Tom Watson of mine, who birdied 17 in the 1977 Masters. And I envisioned where that ball was, where that putt was dropping in 77 when he beat Nicklaus by a shot. And then he won in 81, two shots over Miller and Nicklaus at the Masters. You see, we saw Raymond Floyd, who blew out the competition in 1976. At that time, it was the 72-hole scoring record until Tiger exceeded that in 1997, then subsequent Dustin Johnson in 2020. So much history there, just soaking it all in, visualizing where the shots occurred, who hit them, what happened, the playoff in 79 and 11. I was thinking about that between Fuzzy Zeller, Ed Snead, Tom Watson, and then 1990 with Faldo and Ray Floyd. You go to each hole and you can visualize and sense the history that's occurred throughout Augusta National.
You know, and that dream will continue. You mentioned soaking it all in. Well, you literally did. You guys got rained on one day, but turns out that the gentleman in the green jackets had a little surprise for you, huh?
Absolutely. They're very gracious in bringing us back as part of being poured on Tuesday, and then Wednesday having that five inch downpour on Wednesday afternoon. So we were invited back on Tuesday. They honor those that had tickets on Tuesday, but unfortunately we did not get the full day in. But coming back to our hotel and receiving the email that they will honor our tickets for 2023, that's quite something.
Yeah. And I have to share with you, Frank, there was a lot of moments, but one of the great ones is, of course, you can't bring your cell phone out on the course. You know, it's prohibited at all times, but they do have an area that are just phones where you can call out. So Mike went over and he called his dad from Augusta National, which was pretty super cool.
That's very cool.
Yeah, yep, absolutely. I woke dad up around 7:15. Well, he claims he was awake because that's who my dad is. He's a very gracious and loving individual. And he was surprised that I called him, but I said, hey, this is a courtesy phone. And of course the courtesy phones, they're painted what? They're painted green. But dad was quite happy. And I talked to him for about 20 minutes. And we always have this little game where if we're at a historical place, we'll say, hey, do you know where we are? Or do you know where I am? And so we'll play a little guessing game here and there. So it's been something we've done for quite a number of years.
Yeah, there's also a champions kind of like plaque out there near 18. And Mike took a photo of that. Of course, it had Tom Watson's name on it, all the prior champions. That was cool. And then also on Wednesdays, the par 3 challenge. And Mike literally got up to the ropes on the 8th hole and sat there and did not move. I don't even know if he blinked for about 2.5 hours as he just watched eight group come by, including Bernhard Langer and just all the greats who were playing in the par 3 tournament that day.
The last person who I saw at the par 3 contest, right when the horn went off to say, hey, there's heavy winds, and as they would say in Georgia, lightning, was Ben Crenshaw and Carl Jackson. Carl Jackson being his longtime caddy. Oh, wow. He was a caddy at Augusta National, and here they come. And Ben at first was a little reluctant to hit a shot. The 8th hole is a little 100-yard par. Of course, it's a par 3 contest, so every hole is a par 3. This is about, I think, 106 yards. That was playing. You go over a pond. Ben at first was a little reluctant to hit the shot, and a couple of us sort of needled him. And then he said, okay, I'll do it. What the heck? You know, the horn's already gone off, and hit the shot. Unfortunately, it didn't make the green, but just his presence there and seeing that, okay, for this year, the last shot I saw at Augusta National was 1984 to 95 Masters champion Ben Crenshaw. that's a pretty good thing.
That's a pretty good thing. Speaking of champions, and we are very premature with this, but you have an announcement to make about, and probably, you know, it's not a bad thing to do it because these things tend to sell out quicker than one would expect. You got something happening in October. Is that what I heard?
We do. Yes. We have our first tee invitational. Our first tee invitational is an annual golf tournament that we typically hold in September, October. It's going to be October 17th this year at Cade Vedera Country Club. And we are very pleased. Last year, we had Mr. Lee Trevino as our honoree. And as with the first tee of Greater Sacramento, we have an honoree pretty much every year for the last well over 10 years, 10, 15 years. It's included Doug Sanders, Jay Haas, George Archer, Roger Maltby, Bobby Clampett. Last year, we were honored to have Lee Trevino. And this year, we have a three-time Masters champion, one of five individuals who have achieved the career Grand Slam, who will be our honoree, and that's Mr. Gary Player.
We've heard of him.
Yes.
We've
and
of course,
you,
bit, yes.
you
yes.
still have the marquee MC and interviewer for that night as well, right, Mike?
Absolutely. I mean, he is in our presence, Scott.
Yes.
So it will be a treat. If interested, our first tee of Greater Sacramento website, there are signups. If you would like to be a sponsor, those are open now, as well as if you'd like to play, those are also on the website. It should be an absolute gem of an outing.
And what is that website again, Mike?
First Tee of Greater Sacramento. If you go to the website, that will, and go to the events page, that will bring you to the First Tee Invitational.
You know, the one thing I've found over the years is you get excited about interviewing folks like Arnold Palmer and Gary Player and Nicklaus and Lee Trevino. And when you sit down with them, you find out that they're just regular people and they enjoy telling stories. So that's what we'll do come October. And I'm looking forward to it. Mike Rockenstein with First Tee of Greater Sacramento. Thanks so much for being with us. This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. Frank LaRosa here with Scott Marsh. We'll be back with more right after this.
It's the Golf to Go Hour with Frank LaRosa.
Golf to Go Radio Hour continues here on Sports 1140 KHDK. I tell you, this time just goes so fast, Scott, but we have another great guest. Adam Johnson is owner and chief trainer at Golf Fitness Solutions. And I've known Adam for a few years, and welcome to the show, Adam. But the first thing I want to ask, you know, Golf Fitness Solutions, you know, suggests that there's a problem that you're solving. Is that how it works?
You know, we may solve that body swing connection issue that we run into so often on the golf course.
You know, the first time I met Adam, Scott, was at the Hagen Oaks Golf Expo, and he was one of the vendors there. And we got him up on stage and we were talking, and the first thing out of his mouth, and I just thought it was, you know, I still tell people, he said, the reason you can't hit the ball very far is because your butts don't work. And people kind of looked at him, you know, kind of like a deer in the headlights kind of thing. And it makes perfect sense. Explain what you meant, Adam. I really like that.
Well, you know, one of the things we run into pretty often is we hear all these different reasons why a golf swing doesn't work or why we have issues inside of our golf swing. And the number one thing I always tell any of my clients is we want to make sure that your butt works. If your butt works, your golf swing works. If your butt doesn't work, your golf swing probably not going to work. We spend so much time. I joke around about this because, like you said, when we first met, it was hilarious. You know, I get up on stage with you and the first thing I'm talking about is people's butts, and then I'm making them shake them. But it's really kind of what we do. It's the number one thing we do is try and connect everybody to their golf swing physically. And we use physical exercise and a lot of different techniques to basically get bodies working the way that we want to. Our big connection is really helping people figure out what physical issues they have that allow them or actually keep them from performing what their golf pro may be teaching them or even what they think they're doing inside of their golf swing.
Let's get into some of that, but let's first kind of give a little background. Who is Adam Johnson, and where does this all come from?
So, you know, funny enough, I wish I could take credit for being this masterful genius behind all this, but Golf Fitness Solutions really came about through just a matter of circumstances over the last 10, 15 years. I was actually a banker in a previous life. And after some soul crushing, I wanted to be able to really get out and help people. And I started training people and somehow managed to come across and combine my two biggest passions, fitness and golf. And, you know, the rest is kind of history at this point.
And you are a pretty good player yourself. We haven't played together yet, but I've seen you hit a few shots and I was kind of slack-jawed there.
I may be kind of like the long golf ball whacker guy every once in a while, but yeah, I run around as a scratch.
Fitness obviously is important all the time, but with all these new folks coming into golf, are you seeing more people interested in going through this? As Bryson DeChambeau, you know, and everything he went through to, you know, kind of bulk up and get fit, does any of that all kind of come into play here?
You know, Bryson's probably helped a little bit. He doesn't seem to have quite the fanfare, but I'm eternally grateful to Tiger. My business doesn't exist if Tiger Woods doesn't start off and show the difference of what somebody who's in peak physical condition can do on a golf course relative to a bunch of people who are not. And as much as I'd like to think that Golf Fitness Solutions is really about, you know, hitting the ball a mile and, you know, really trying to crush the ball, really what we want to focus on is longevity and play and really keeping people on the golf course as long as they can and keeping people from getting injured. Regardless of how well we're playing, we're not going to play well at all if we have any types of injuries. So we spend a lot of time really focusing on that. And you see it in the PGA now. You see a lot of these guys have been growing up since they were 8 years old. They've had physical coaches. They've had golf coaches. They've had everything they could possibly have available to them. And you can see what it does for their peak performance.
I think that's a great distinction you make. And you do have plenty of clients who you've helped improve their game. Certainly first by getting them, you know, physically fit enough to make a correct golf swing. But that's not your primary goal. As you say, your primary goal is to get them in the kind of shape that they can have a healthy life and not injure themselves. I think that's an important distinction.
Absolutely. And we train people significantly differently. You know, I have one kid that I train that's a +5 handicap and getting ready to turn pro. And I've also got guys that have started with me when they were 35 handicaps. I'm happy to say that 35 handicap is now a 22 handicap, but you know, you're going to train everybody differently. And that's one of the great things about the program that TPI designed that we use here at Golf Fitness Solutions is it helps us identify what's going on with each individual. So we're able to cater programs specifically to the individual we're working with and not try to train everybody with a cookie cutter approach.
And that again is really, really important. I mean, when people go to a health club, you know, they're sort of lost. It's like, if I'm doing this on my own, where, you know, do I do these weights over here? What do I do? And the notion that you are creating a program individually for each person has got to make your clients feel good about going through the process.
It does. And it also, it's significantly more effective for them. If I have somebody that doesn't have any issues with their glutes, for instance, I don't necessarily need to spend a lot of time working on their glutes. And if I am, I'm kind of wasting their time. But going back to what you just said, you know, I've noticed that over the years of spending lots of time in the gym, it is challenging to go into a gym and try and figure out what you want to do. I ran into that myself. I didn't really start getting really into physical fitness until I was 30 years old. And I spent a lot of time through trial and error kind of figuring out the right things to do and the wrong things to do. And the way that I train now or train any of my clients is significantly different than the way that I would have trained 10 years ago.
What's the percentage of people that come in thinking that they're already fit and, you know, and you don't have much to do with them?
You know, you'd be surprised. I actually, the thing I get most of is, please don't hurt me. This is going to hurt. I don't like exercise. Exercise is going to suck. And that's really far from the truth. It can be if we go from 0 to 100, but if it's done properly, you can really work your way into a really good exercise regime. And you can be very effective at it without having to do nearly as much as the internet might have you believe. I think that's actually one of the things I run into a lot with a lot of clients is actually having to slow people down a little bit. because there's this idea that we need to lift really heavy weights and we need to move lots of weights around. And really, that's the only way to hit the golf ball further. In my experience, most clients that I work with are significantly stronger than they actually realize. Unfortunately, through sedentary movement and jobs where we're sitting behind a desk all day long or driving all day long, our body kind of quiets down a little bit and we're not nearly as good at muscle recruitment, what we would need to have a really powerful golf swing, a stable golf swing, and a mobile golf swing. And that's really what the key is with a lot of the workouts that we do here. We really focus on trying to unlock that hidden strength that people already have.
Yeah, I'm guessing, you know, with the difference in our ages between Scott and me, you would come up with a different program, but flexibility has got to be real important. Scott, you're pretty flexible you take a terrific backswing, but your follow through is there as well. And you know, I've gotten to the point where mine is cut off a little bit, and I'm thinking, I need a little more of Scott here.
Well, I appreciate that because you still have the better golf game than I do. But what I'm interested in, Adam, first of all, it's golffitnesssolutions.com. I've visited your website several times, and I was curious if you just could explain to me, for somebody who's looking to get involved with the program, the differences between your studio training, the online training, and the self-guided training, and how you would recommend somebody going about figuring out the best type of training program for them if they want to get involved with you.
Sure. So anytime we start working with any clients, we like to get in person with them, work through a Zoom call. COVID's kind of changed things quite a bit, so we've had a lot of different experiences over the last couple of years. But kind of running through those three programs, when we think about something that's self-guided, what that would look like is somebody coming in, going through a screen with us, and us kind of identifying where our areas for opportunity are and designing a program specific to them. We have a wonderful tool through mytpi.com, which is the Titleist Performance Institute, that allows us to assign workouts that provide video, provide thumbnails, and also written descriptions of how to do that. So somebody who's a little bit more versed in exercise would probably fall in line for that. We have our in-person or studio training, which is going to be where you would be training with me. That's always been my preference because I like to be able to really pay attention to what you're doing. My strength as a trainer is to be able to look at you and go, okay, I need you to move your elbow this far to the left, versus looking at some kind of picture or diagram and thinking to myself, I need to do 15 reps. So unfortunately, we get a lot of that throughout, you know, our experience with training is you got to do 3 sets of 10 and 3 sets of 10 and 3 sets of 10. And that's not always the case, depending on what we're trying to do. And as far as the online training, that's going to be something where we're going to be able to basically work with somebody through Skype or through FaceTime or whatever method we choose. And we've kind of backed off of that just a little bit, only because I do like to be with people in person as much as possible. But, you know, sometimes that's just what's necessary, depending on where somebody's at. I've trained somebody as far away as Florida before using that. So,
yeah. And on the flexibility point, Frank makes a good one. And honestly, I swing as hard as I can. And sometimes when I'm done with a round, I'm actually, my rib cage is hurting, or just like certain muscles, because I just kind of grip and rip a lot, especially with the bigger clubs. But I'm curious how much of the training is, quote unquote, lifting and strength versus that flexibility. I'm guessing you don't have a Miguel Angel Jimenez stretch program for everybody, but I'm sure there is some stretching and flexibility there.
Yeah, believe it or not, most of my clients don't touch a weight for probably the first 3 to 6 months that they're working with me, even if they're looking to put on some significant strength. We have a pretty firm belief here that without a proper foundation, you're going to be building on something, and that creates the potential for injury. And I want to make sure, like I said, at the forefront, nobody here, we want people to be able to stay on the golf course. We don't want to risk injury, and strengthening dysfunction inside of the body creates potential for injury down the road. So when you talk about all the soreness that you have low after your round, you know, your ribs hurting and things like that, we want to try and make sure we have our clients as well prepared to be able to deal with those kinds of stresses. Golf's a pretty ballistic sport, right? We go from 0 miles per hour to anywhere, my swing speed's 125. So I'm going from 0 to 125 in roughly 1.3 seconds or so. That's a lot of pressure on the body, right? So if we're not training our body to be able to, you know, deal with those forces, it's going to be really interesting. The other thing that we really like to talk about is the difference between mobility and flexibility. And although a lot of people think of them the same, I really like to look at them two different ways. Flexibility to me is your passive range of motion. So how far can you rotate? You know, I can rotate really far this way if I really want to. And I'm kind of guessing based off what you just described, this kind of goes along your ways. What I want to know is how far you can rotate and actually get back to the ball. And that's what I think of when I think of mobility. I want to make sure that you're able to get back to the ball just as easily as you get back here. And if I'm having to force my way into a position while I'm swinging a golf club, it's probably going to have some relatively disastrous results either in my golf game or physically afterwards. So we want to really pay attention to those two types of things.
Or in my case, both.
I knew there was a reason I don't swing 125 miles an hour. That hurts. You know, you mentioned TPI, the Titleist Performance Institute. There's a lot of time and effort that's gone into planning that program, and that's got to be a significant tool for you as well.
Absolutely. The TPI program has been wonderful, and it's really opened a lot of doors. Golf Fitness Solutions wouldn't exist from it. I think most people look at golf fitness, and they just think of it as, I need to get a phone call. People look at, you know, golf fitness and they think, okay, I need to put weights in my hand and I need to rotate. And it's really a lot different than that. There's a lot of exercises that we do in here that I have to start off with kind of letting the client know, this isn't going to look like anything that you do inside of the golf swing, but I can assure you that it's actually going to be very impactful inside of your golf swing. And again, that kind of goes back to really going through that screen, which was created by TPI. So that gives us our way of identifying where everything looks or where everything's at. The other thing that's really important about it that I really enjoy is it gives us the ability for even, you know, a 30 handicap to compare themselves to a professional golfer because of all the data that TPI has been able to create over the years.
Well, you know, I knew we have people listening to the show, but I didn't realize how good we were that you're actually starting to get phone calls already. So we probably ought to back off of this. Adam, I just, you know, I very much appreciate you know, some of the explanation of, you know, taking some of the mystery out of it for a lot of our listeners. And so I'm sure you're available to answer questions and at
golffitnesssolutions.com.
Thank you. You know, I was going to say golf performance and I was getting mixed up with the TPI, but Adam Johnson is as the owner and chief trainer. Give him a call. Talk to him, see if it makes sense for you, and ultimately in the long run, it may even improve your golf game. So, Scott, you and I have an appointment next week. I just want to let you know.
I'm ready to go. I'm sold. I was sold at Scratch Golfer when he said that.
This is the Golf to Go Radio Hour. We actually have we've come to the end of another hour, Scott, and yep. So you know, I guess, you know, hope you enjoyed Mr. Len Dumas and Mike Rockenstein and Adam Johnson, and we'll be back next week for more of this same kind of stuff, because I don't know, I'm enjoying this.
Me too. Get out and play this weekend, and we'll get back at it next week.
Golf to Go. Back next week. Bye-bye.